Dora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 57th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is still TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Pass the ketchup. Well, it's episode 57, Heinz 57.
Leave it to Mike for that reference, folks. All credit goes to him. Are you ready for more Myths of Etheria, sir?
I don't know.
We're in that funky, we're at the mid, the third, I guess we're through one third of the episodes, yeah, for She-Ra. So we're kind of in that funky area where we're a third in. So it's kind of like, okay, enough with the welcoming, you know, the introduction to this series. We want to get down to the nitty gritty, and hopefully it's going to get there. So we're kind of in that interesting time frame as far as the series goes. The third way mark is telling sometimes.
2 out of 3 for today. That's all I'll say. Since it's 1/3, it's 1 out of 3. Ain't bad for this one.
Well, in this episode, speaking of the episode specifically of Myths of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 31, The Reluctant Wizard, episode 32, Friends Are Where You Find Them, and episode 33, A Talent for Trouble. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
We always have a talent for trouble around here.
Who, you or me?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wonder what made the Horde Trooper suspicious. I thought I looked just like the other peasants.
We begin today with episode 31, The Reluctant Wizard, which aired back on Friday, October 18th, 1985, written by Joseph Botsford. I'm pretty sure that's the first time we've seen his name come up. And the plot goes something like this. One day, Madam Raz is escaping a Hordak soldier, and an old tree helps her. She retells her adventure to Adora and Bo, and they go on to find that the old tree is actually an old wizard. So we have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, and then we have She-Ra, Bo, Madam Raz, Cowl, Broom, Swiftwind, Light Hope, and of course the before-mentioned wizard. So what did you think of the setup for the Reluctant Wizard?
There's too many wizard plots in the Masters of the Universe.
A lot of wizards.
I would have rather have seen Zagraz return than this guy. Because this episode, to me, the general overall plot felt like a message that we've seen before in both of these cartoons.
Yes.
In both, we've seen this message of, oh, this person or this kid or this adult or this old woman or this imp or whatever is, you know, really, really crass and secluded and doesn't want to give anybody the time of day. And, you know, I know this would never happen, but I would have rather have seen Granomir, because this is essentially a Granomir plot without Granomir. No. What about you?
I mean, I'm not opposed to the fact of this, the kind of a plot setup of a being that exists on Etheria that we don't know about, kind of like this guy that's just been in seclusion that we're not really sure what's going on. So, I mean, I think there is a little bit of an air of mystery that I like. As far as what you're saying, though, with just another wizard, another magician, another, you know, sorceress or sorcerer, we've seen it a lot of times. So, like always, we say this a lot, but it's going to come down to the execution on this one. The plot doesn't excite me, but it doesn't turn me off either. So, all right, let's make our way then to see what actually we did like and dislike about this episode as we go to the Whispering Woods for the first time today.
I just wish we knew more about this wizard, and I know just who to ask. Light Hope. Isn't there anything you can tell me about this mysterious wizard?
Little is known. Centuries ago, the wizard withdrew into his tree. Since then, he has had nothing to do with the outside world.
Still, if there's even a chance he'd help us, then we've got to try. After all, the wizard did help Madame Raz.
Be careful, She-Ra. The wizard of the tree loves his privacy and hates visitors. He may greet your arrival with anger. Be very careful.
All right, we're in the Whispering Woods talking about the Reluctant Wizard. Mike, what did you like about this episode? If any.
Poor Bo.
Poor Bo. I've never heard you say that before.
Poor. Well, Bo is stuck with his foot in his mouth. Quite literally, not, I almost wish we would have seen his foot in his mouth, but, he keeps getting all his words mixed up because he quote unquote loves both Adora and She-Ra. This almost, it's not as bad as a certain... Adventures of Little Koala thing that you pointed out to me a few years ago, but it's right up there because Bo just he just puts it. I just found that hilarious. And instead of Hordak turning into a rocket, he just has rocket boots now. What the hell happened?
Yeah,
Hordak's cut back on his science.
Budget cuts.
Yeah, that's all I got.
I got a couple things. Number one, I didn't realize that they had replaced Adora as far as her force captain position. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I had just never heard her referred to this, but they say the force captain, and they're clearly referring to Catra.
Catra, yeah.
So I don't know if I just missed that the last 29 episodes or something, but yeah, I thought that was interesting that she actually had a rank there amongst the Horde members. And I did like how they played Bo kind of a fool with the whole Adora She-Ra and who he desired more and who he liked more. I thought that was kind of interesting to see him squirm there a little bit. I did like the recurring rabbit. I don't really know what.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what if there was a great point to that, but I just kind of liked that we saw it throughout the whole episode. And I like that the wizard, as the tree, and kind of before we know what he's going to do or what he's not going to do, does prove to be somewhat of a formidable foe. Mm. I'm not saying foe as the, you know, because obviously he doesn't end up being necessarily bad. But when they're first encountering him and trying to get his help or trying to figure out what's going on, I mean, he does have, it's not like, you know, when you come across one of the, what's Orko? Trollin. Yeah, it's not like a Trollin where they're terrible at their magic or whatever. I mean, this guy legitimately has some power. So I like that kind of dynamic that it wasn't going to be easy for She-Ra.
And since you're talking about that, and since you brought up Orko, I mean, Orko does say that on his world, he is, on Tralla, he is a powerful wizard. Just on other worlds, like Etheria and Eternia, that for some odd reason, the...
Right, everything's...
I don't know. Etheria and Eternia are vibrating on a different wavelength, and, you know, Barry Allen has to come in and, you know... Anyway, you know, so, I mean, it's just, and the funny thing is, and I remember, I think it was in the interview either we did with Larry DiTilio or maybe it was on the DVD stuff, when he was first explaining about the characters and why Orko wasn't in She-Ra, but they made Madame Raz kind of Orko-like as far as her forgetfulness and as far as, obviously, her color design.
Right.
She's clearly meant to be the spirit of a Trollin or, you know, I mean, it's basically a female version of Orko, even though we already have Driel. But with Madame, she's more forgetful than her magic being bad. Like, her, in her own way of missaying spells is how her magic goes wrong. So she is a powerful sorceress, but she just ends up, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I kind of liked the whole thing with Madame and Broom and everything else in this episode, but the wizard guy, he's a more crotchety version of Merlin from Sword in the Stone.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit. But I just like I said, I just like that he wasn't, he gave She-Ra a formidable foe, I guess is the best way I put it. But
yeah.
What about getting over into the Fright Zone?
Only thing I wrote down is that it just feels like we've seen this message before of, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, and hell, even the PSA, and I know we'll get to that later, but it just, I don't know, it just felt like a run-of-the-mill episode.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. For me, I just had one thing, and at one point, Bo and She-Ra or Adora, I don't remember which one she was at that exact point, they're standing there, and there's like these little spikes that come up. And then eventually it encases them in, like, this crystal jail.
She was already turned into She-Ra.
Yeah, but my question is, why did they allow themselves to stand right in the middle of that? Like, those things clearly popped up, and they just stood there, and then, like, seconds later it enclosed them. Like, if I'm standing somewhere and there's something that comes up all the way around me, like, in a circle, I'm jumping the hell out of there.
Yeah. So what happened was, what he's talking about, folks, is in the episode, in this desert, or they don't call it the Sands of Time because obviously that's on Eternia, but in this desert like place where this tree is and whatever else, there's also this random cactus, and this cactus, the wizard makes the cactus's spikes fly up into the air and encircle them. Yeah, you're right, she should have been able to, you know. Bo makes it a perfect, you know, example earlier in the episode where he says, oh no, Arrow and I can just jump right across this thing, and then all of a sudden they're stuck in this circle of cacti spikes, and they can't do anything until she has to break them out of a crystal prison.
I mean, not that it really held them up that much, but it was just the fact of, that was dumb that you guys stood there and let yourselves get trapped. Like,
and can we talk about the religious implications of this episode seriously? And I very rarely bring up religion in podcasting because it's so controversial, whatever else, but she essentially parted the Red fucking Sea in this. Did you not see that?
Yeah, I actually rewound and watched it again because I was like, what just happened?
So, for those that haven't seen the episode, or hopefully you'll watch the episode and then listen to us, there's three things that the wizard does to stop She-Ra and Bo and Madame Raz and everybody to get to the tree. Mm-hmm. The first one is the chasm where Bo and Arrow just jump right over it. The second one is a wall of fire. And for a second there, I thought She-Ra was going to go pick up a giant boulder and try to push it in, kind of like Mr. Incredible did in The Incredibles. And then, no, she just takes her sword, stumps into the ground, moves the entire ground, and splits the wall of fire like splitting the Red Sea.
You know, if this was a big budget comic book film, people would have problems with the She-Ra not taking into account all the effects that would have on the world and on people, mm-hmm, and nature and stuff like that. But I was just glad that she didn't just somehow like divert water from the
fire,
a river.
Just divert the fire itself. Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with it because I've seen way worse nature effects in this show. So
I just thought it was kind of a funny thing about the whole reference to parting the Red Sea.
Definitely.
Get your religion out of my He-Man and keep your He-Man and She-Ra out of the religion.
As far as the PSA though, is talking about the Golden Rule and basically, you know,
don't say
can't say anything nice.
Yeah,
don't say anything.
One of the golden rules, besides treat others how you want to be treated, but you can't say anything nice. Don't say anything at all, type thing. So, how did you feel that fit into the episode?
I don't really think it fit, really, honestly, because the wizard wasn't saying anything bad about them. He just didn't. He was under the assumption that because they wanted to help him, that they wanted something in return.
Right. Which is understandable. Know,
the whole favor thing, like if I do something for you, I'm going to then expect you to do something for me. No, no, no. The whole point of having friends and doing things for friends is if I do something for a friend of mine or if I whatever, I'm not going to sit here and expect them to do the same thing for me. If they do it, if they do something for me in return, great. But I'm not going to sit here and expect that.
You're not keeping tallies.
I think that would have been more.
Oh, you're not keeping tallies on a scoreboard somewhere.
Yeah, no. I don't have that kind of. I have all kinds of time to waste on review podcasts. I don't have time to waste on keeping tallies of what my friends do for me and don't do for me.
I mean, I think it's a decent message. I don't know really if it applies perfectly to this episode, but.
And honestly, I don't know if any of Lukey's messages really apply to any of the episodes.
Yeah, there's been a few.
We'll
get one still today, I think, that does. But let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back and do our first award trophy presentations of the day.
Too bad Adora couldn't come along with us.
It seemed like a better idea for me to come instead. Are you saying you'd rather Adora was here instead of me?
No, of course not.
Oh, dearie my. So you're saying that you prefer Shira's company over Adora's?
No, I mean, that is...
I think it's an incredibly rude thing to say.
Boy, some people.
But I didn't mean...
All right, Bo, what did you mean?
Do you prefer Shira's company
or Adora's?
I think... Oh.
What's that?
Whoa, whoa! That was no earthquake. That chasm just suddenly appeared.
Like magic. Madam, you and I can fly over, but do you know a spell that could get Bo across?
Arrow and I can get across on our own, Shira. All we need is a little room. Watch this.
Bo, wait!
Go, Arrow!
All right, sir, this is your first chance. Now, just a little disclaimer. You only have six trophies or awards you can give out today. No, just kidding. Any horde bats or protection swords for this Reluctant Wizard episode?
No.
Oh, you're saving your six for the last two episodes. I like that idea. I'm going to do the same thing because, honestly, it's like you said, it's just an episode that's just there. There's not a whole lot to write home about. There's not a whole lot to bitch about. Nobody's doing something great. Nobody's doing something awful. So it's just kind of there, which leads me to my rating for this episode, which is 3 Crystal Castles out of 5. I could see this going anywhere between, 2.5, 3, right in that range. But for me, it's just there. It's not bad, so I'll give it a 3, just slightly on the positive side. What about you?
Like I said before, when I was kind of in Whispering Woods, kind of making fun of Bo and the whole situation, if I really wanted to nitpick something negative out of it, I would have said something about Adora / She-Ra and Madame Raz giving him a hard time over him jumbling his words and because he's so flustered because he loves both Adora and She-Ra. But I mean, I thought that was a comical scene. That's why I put it in my Whispering Woods moments. Right. I didn't like. Bo didn't do anything in this episode that is moronic like he normally... Like, Bo didn't have any Teela moments in this episode at all, thank God. but at the same time, as we said, just nothing stood out from any character at all whatsoever. And because of that, sadly, I have to give it only 2 Crystal Castles.
Like I said, I can see that. 2.5, 3... I can't really see much more than that or much less than that. Like it's just kind of there.
So, all right, let's make our way to hopefully a better episode. We'll have to see what happens after the break when we get into episode 32.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Faster, Swift Wind. Show me how fast you can fly. Spiders are after that spacecraft. These robots need a lesson in space manners.
All right, next up is episode 32, Friends Are Where You Find Them. It's how we started our week, Monday, October 21st, 1985, written by Don Heckman. And this has got to be one of the worst plot synopsis I've ever seen written online, because I used to go to a certain site that had good plot synopsis for most of these episodes, and somewhere about maybe two-thirds, three-fourths of the way through He-Man, it seemed like the whoever was doing those stopped doing them, and a bunch of the later episodes were missing them. So I went through probably three or four different sites to find these plot synopsis, try to find a good one that I think, and edit it a little bit and make it my own words, etc. She-Ra, I couldn't find a lot of plot synopsis on most of those sites. So I've been using the IMDb synopsis and kind of retooling those. I had to do this word for word, what exactly is on the IMDb plot synopsis, because it's a terrible plot synopsis. It literally reads, and I quote, Hordak wants to steal a robot one boy brings to Etheria.
Yeah. It's funny you bring this up, because over on Pixels in the Animation, the video game cartoon review show TV's Mr. Neil and I do, we're about to hopefully soon record our, or we might have already recorded it, depending on when this episode goes up for Myths of Etheria, but at this time of this recording, we're about to go into Darkstalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Wikipedia page for Darkstalkers. They list the episodes with no plot synopsis at all. So I'm like, crap. And I know people that will take a movie or a cartoon or whatever, and they will actually, you know, look at the entire episode, and they will actually write out their own plot synopsis of that. There's a podcast out there called Tranquil Tirades. It's a really, really cool, fun podcast, but they basically review what they believe are bad movies. I think in total, between the four Transformers films, they have close to 15 hours of content and these are not Transformers fans, but just tearing those movies apart and just dissecting them and whatever else. But yeah, I just don't get it. Like, why is it so hard to have a somewhat decent general plot synopsis of an episode of a cartoon that's 31 years old this year?
I don't know. This guy was definitely lazy when it came to this one. We have Hordak, Catra, Imp, Leech, Grizzlor as far as the Horde members. We have She-Ra, Bo, and Queen Angela. And we have Prince Joel, a robo-friend, and some boys. So a blonde-haired boy and a red-haired boy. So whatever your preference there is, I guess.
That just sounds so wrong in so many ways. And all I can think of is they're male versions of Teela and obviously Prince Adam.
For sure. So what did you think about this whole Friends Are Where You Find Them? We have basically, let me give you the real plot synopsis here. And that is Prince Joel crashes onto Etheria with his robo friend, and he's stranded, and basically it's him trying to make friends and exist for a while before they can figure out a way to get him back to his homeland. And along the way, Hordak wants to try to take his robo friend because it's a powerful robot. So what did you think of this story?
I would have rather have had Dial-A-Mug back. I mean, honestly, like, Okay, so first of all, let me just, everybody knows, we've been doing this show four or five years or so now in total. Everybody should know by now that I hate all of the children in the Filmation cartoon.
Hate children.
And then this kid is no exception. This kid is one step. If I was to rank the three worst kids in Filmation, He-Man and She-Ra, Cousin Ed Wiener would be the first one. Cousin Jeremy would be number two. And then this kid would be number three. Oh, my God. Oh.
You say that this is... Who's ahead of this one?
The first worst one is Ed Wiener.
Okay. I want to make sure I heard you right.
And then Cousin Jeremy is second. And then this kid.
I don't disagree with that. Putting them all in the same grouping.
He doesn't want to share his robot. He then wants to show it off without having people touch it.
The number of times that we've seen in He-Man and She-Ra, maybe I'm over exaggerating, but the number of times we've seen just like some random kid that has crash landed or somehow fallen into, you know, the care of the royal family or the rebellion or whatever it might be. It's just ridiculous. It's so contrived. Like, this, it's like, oh, we need a child in the episode, so we have to come up and manufacture this way that this child is going to be amongst this rebellion, which it makes less sense than it does in Eternia with the royal family. At least that it's a royal family with a castle, palace, etc., that probably is frequented by visitors of the realm. You know, they're going to go pay their respects, or they're going to have connections or family or whatever. But now we're talking about a rebellion in the woods. Like, I don't understand that. And then if it wasn't bad enough to have the stupid kid plot line, we have to go with the sharing plot line along top of that. Like, the whole, we're going to have a kid that doesn't know how to share, and it's going to cause some type of problem, and he's going to have to learn to let go of his greed or his paranoia of letting anyone touch his things. So it's just an awful plot. Like I said with the last one, where some of them, we have some plots that aren't going to excite you and aren't going to turn you off, and then strictly comes down to execution. Then you have plots that do excite you, and hopefully the execution doesn't disappoint you. And then you have a plot like this, where it would have taken the most monumental task ever to somehow make me like an episode based on this plot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
pretty much.
All right, let's go and see if there is anything good we can say as we make our way to Whispering Woods once again, and hopefully find no kids along the way.
I would rather listen to Friends in Low Places on repeat than rewatch this episode ever again, especially the extended version.
That's an ace for our side.
All right, we're in the Whispering Woods once again to talk about good moments from whatever the hell this title of this episode is. It's too long for me to remember. Something about friends in low places, as you said. But I'll go first. I just have a few things. I do think the robo friend, maybe, I don't know. I wrote down robo friend is a cool element to this story. Maybe that's because of the other terrible elements that it just makes this look like a better element. But I do like the idea of this robot that can do different things, change into different things, whatever. I mean, I don't dislike that. Not a good day for Horde Troopers. Last episode, Hordak totally just annihilated a Horde Trooper. This episode, mm-hmm. he drops one into the, I guess, water or something. So not a good day in the whole Fright Zone to be a Horde Trooper. I did think this is how much work we had to do to get something good about this episode. There was a cool variation on the theme song when She-Ra flies away after the Robo Friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's how picky I have to get to find something good. I liked a variation on the theme song, but yeah, that's all I have to say about Whispering Woods stuff.
Okay, so. It's very rare, because we usually either open up in the Fright Zone or Whispering Woods. And He-Man did this a lot at times, where we would get an opening shot from space, and then it would pan into the planet and the cities and wherever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it does that. The opening shot of being in space is cool. I thought that was really cool. But there's a downside I'll talk about later that just... No, that's going to basically affect the rest of this entire podcast episode. That should just never have happened. Hey, look, it's Imp. I kind of like seeing Imp again. It's been a while. What kind of Horde officer is this? I thought that was a good line from Imp. So Imp is off doing this mission for Hordak, and at one point Imp contacts him through what quite literally looks to be an Apple Watch. It's like, damn, Imp had an Apple Watch 30 years before it was made. And I think it was either She-Ra or somebody said something about, hey, look, it's Leech Stew. I thought that was kind of a funny line.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all I got. All
right, I have a feeling we're going to have some more things to say about in the Fright Zone, so let's get there.
Uh-huh.
You talked about...
Hold
on. You talked about how we usually begin in, you know, in the Whispering Woods or in Fright Zone or Cedra. Every once in a while, we've actually begun in Eternia a couple times.
Right.
When did we decide that She-Ra was going to be involving space?
She has before, okay? This happened last Christmas in Horde Prime Takes a Holiday.
Yeah.
They were in space there.
It always throws me off, though. I mean, we literally start with, like, a space battle, and She-Ra's involved, and...
See, the thing that throws me off is I wouldn't have had a problem with this. I would have thought it was awesome. As much as I hate the MacGuffin of, you know, sword to change to whatever the hell... Uh-huh. She has no fucking helmet. And then the final episode we're going to talk about, another character says something about a certain not being able to do a certain thing in space. And it's like, are you frigging kidding me? Give me a break. Give me more continuity. This episode specifically, they should have... Who the hell wrote this shit? Don Heckman, he's written multiple other episodes. He should have figured it out. As much as I don't really care for Sword into change whatever the hells, mm-hmm. there should have been one there for her to get a goddamn space helmet, because she should be dead by now. Series over.
Yeah, and not only do we start in space, but we literally get a crossover episode here between She-Ra and Star Trek. Because they literally have the Star Trek Enterprise flying through the sky.
Yep. And as she's trying to save the ship, the worst sword to change to anything. The worst one we've ever seen to this point. I'm sorry. She is no Anna Kournikova, goddammit. She's not the Williams sisters. Sword to racket.
I actually wrote sword to huge ass tennis racket.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And then we also had sword to smoke screen, but the tennis racket was the worst.
The the sword to smoke screen, I could kind of...
Well, it's just weird that the sword would turn into some type of smoke screen. Like.
Smoke, yeah. See, here's the thing. Like, okay, so we every transformation, we see power coming from the jewel of the sword to transform Swifty, Swiftwind, or whatever, you know, so...
Don't you dare start calling him that.
Well, they call him that throughout the show. So anyway, so we see her use... We see that the jewel in the hilt of the sword has power. I wouldn't have minded it so much... If the sword hadn't transformed into a smoke screen, but if the smoke screen had come out of the actual jewel, in that would have been a better way to still have the same effect as what it had, as far as confusing, you know, blinding the robot. But yeah,
so that was not good. I did not like the sword transformations in this episode. No. We already talked about Prince Joel. The good old Sharian story. Boring. I've seen it before. I don't need to see it again. I've said this before as well. But it really came, you know, beating at the door on this episode, which is the female voices for boys are so grating at times. So grating, especially not so much when it's just like the random kids, but when it's this individual, like high pitched that we have to hear the entire time. That is, it's different if it was like a little kid, but when it's like a, you know, 12, 13 teenager age type person, it's just like, this is not believable as a boy's voice. I'm sorry, it's not, you're not Tara Strong. It just doesn't work. And Bo.
Uh-oh.
He literally just straight up lies to us at the end when he's talking about how She-Ra, and he says, quote, "I'm the one she calls."
Yeah.
Ugh. Man, I wanted to punch him in the face.
The only cool thing about that, because he goes into that diatribe of it, is that Adora winks at the end. Yeah. To the audience, I thought that was cool. But see, here's the thing, though, and we know this to be true. You look at She-Ra on a whole. We're 32 episodes in at this point. Correct. Not counting Secret of the Sword, the first five episodes, because we're just being basically 20 some odd episodes. Half the time when plots are involving Bo, he is usually emasculated because they're trying to go for the girl power or the women power. Not that girl power or women power is bad, but
you should find an equal
ground. No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying they should have found an equal ground for both sexes, not just, the women are better, you know, all the women are better than Bo, or all the women, you know, it's... They constantly make him look like a fool.
That's why in this series a character like the Seahawk was so, like, why it worked so well is because they finally had, you know, they had a male character that was suave. He was had some charisma, had some balls to do what he wanted to do and not be whipped by the women. And I wish there would have been a recurring character in the rebellion that was at least legitimately like powerful or effective in a way that Bo is certainly not. But for him to just to hear him say that, like, "Oh, She-Ra calls me," I just was like, "You punk bitch." Sorry. Anything else that you wanted to say about Fright Zone Moments?
No.
I don't even remember what the PSA was because I forgot to write it down.
The PSA was, there is nothing more impotent than friendship of others.
Oh, of course. I thought it was going to be about sharing, but apparently they didn't want to do that. They hammered it home enough in the episode. Well, let's take a quick time.
Well, really quickly, the reason why they did that PSA, importance of friendship, is because that's outside of the sharing thing. That's the other lesson in the episode. The other friends are trying, and She-Ra and Bo and Adora are trying to get him to be free friends with the other kids instead of just his.
Actually, maybe this episode was before its time, because you could say that the moral of this episode was for the kid to put the damn machine down and try to develop some real friendships with actual human beings.
Oh, so
it was an anti-technology episode.
Yeah.
So put your phone down and go play outside with some friends. There we go. I'm gonna rewrite the PSA.
I love those Facebook memes where it's like, back in my day, this is how our friends used to play, and now it's all of us sitting around with our phones.
Absolutely. Well, before we go down that rabbit hole, let's take a quick break and come back and see. We didn't hand any awards out last episode, so let's see if we save some for episode 32.
But it's broken. Queen Angela's castle in Bright Moon is nearby. She'll be happy to try to get word to your parents to let them know you're here.
We'll make every effort to reach Antares, but it may take some time. In the meantime, Bo will show you around our kingdom. Perhaps he'll introduce you to some of our young people.
I'll be happy to.
All right, time for the awards ceremony, sir. And you did not give out anything last episode. Will it be a duplicate here, or do you actually have some people that you'd like to hit or reward in some way, shape, or form?
Horned bat to the writer Don Heckman. Horned bat to She-Ra for not using the transformation thing in space. Horned bat to the kid.
You only have three left for the whole day.
No, well... considering the last episode is the best episode of the day, I don't think I'll need any more horned bats for the rest of the day. Just horned bats all around. I mean, horned bat to Lou Scheimer for even allowing this... No, seriously, because... Okay, you know... All due respect to the dead and all that, but I'm sorry. He should have perused this a little bit better and looked at this episode for... The message is fine. I have no problem with the message in the episode. It's both the friendship message and the sharing message. Yes, we've seen the sharing message over and over and over again, but there should have been a better execution and a better written story for this.
I can see that, I guess, in a way. Wow, you gave out a lot of stuff there. I have a couple as well. I will give one to Prince Joel by default. And I'm actually going to give a horde bat to Bo for straight up lying and trying to think he's better than he is. Any protection swords for me, sir? Nope. I actually do have a couple protection swords. And this is going to sound weird because we usually hate these characters so much. And Prince Joel obviously did get a horde bat for me, but I'm actually going to give a protection sword to the actual Aetherian kids.
The other kids, yeah.
Because they were actually not annoying, mm-hmm. and were not douchebags. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, it's some kids that aren't douchebags, so I will have to give them a protection sword. All right, yep. As far as ratings go for this episode, you were at a 2. With the Reluctant Wizards, what are you at for friends with friends and where you find them, and then there's some more friends that you find and you don't share with?
Let's see here. I am at a 1. And only gets a 1 out of 5 Crystal Castles because of Imp's Apple Watch and the Leech Stew comment. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I can see that. Not a lot to like about this film. It's not this episode. Not the worst episode I've seen out of the Masters of the Universe franchise, but it's not very good. I'll give it a 1.5. 1.5 Crystal Castles because the Enterprise did make an appearance. So that gets a half a point. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our final episode of the day, episode 33, coming up, A Talent for Trouble.
Please enter program.
The android at the bar said you could show me my old ship. Let me see it.
Insufficient data. Please specify parameters.
The Enterprise. Show me the bridge of the Enterprise, you chattering piece of...
There have been 5 Federation ships with that name. Please specify by registry number.
NCC-1701. No bloody A, B, C, or D.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Nice of you to offer to help me, Orko.
It's my pleasure, Sorceress. I always like spring cleaning, and this place can sure use it.
Magic can be an untidy business.
Oh, don't I know it? Where would you like me to start?
You take the basement, Orko. I'll start here.
I'm on my way.
Be careful, Orko. You know how unpredictable the castle's magic can be. And be especially careful around the magic doors. We wouldn't want you swept off to some other world.
Don't worry about me. I'm always careful. Oops.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I must have gone through one of the sorceress's magic gates. I wonder where I am.
Last up today is episode 33, A Talent for Trouble, Tuesday, October 22nd, 1985, written by Larry DiTilio.
Well, how long has it been since we've had one written by him? It's been forever.
I don't think it's been as long as you think it has. I think you shit on his last one. Assisting the sorceress with her spring cleaning, Orko accidentally ends up on Etheria and is soon captured by the evil horde along with Madame Raz. He-Man comes to join She-Ra to help rescue Madame Raz and Orko. So we have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Mantenna, Leech, and Grizzlor. And then we have She-Ra, Madame Raz, He-Man, Orko, Broom, and of course the horse. And then we got some minor voice roles from the door knocker in Castle Grayskull, as well as the minesweeper that's used on Orko. What did you think about our latest crossover episode, Orko?
I love this compared to the other two. But in general, I really dig this because this is the first time, and I think the only time, we ever see Orko and Raz together.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. I love this so much. The only thing, and I, it's just weird not seeing He-Man just seeing He-Man without Battle Cat. That's just the only thing that just really bugs me about a lot of the crossovers, is that Battle Cat is hardly ever in them past Secret of the Sword. But no, the plot was good. I thought that was really, really cool. I thought, you know, Orko, and it wasn't even as if Orko was trying to get himself in trouble. It wasn't that he was trying to perform a magic trick and it backfired. He was just cleaning up. And please tell me you saw the Sword in the Stone and Alice in Wonderland in the beginning of this episode. Please tell me you saw those moments.
I don't remember if I did or not. Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah. What about you?
It's a crossover episode. We seem to be... It's not like we're biased to the crossover episodes, and just because they're going to include He-Man or whatever, we're going to like them. But it seems to be that when there is a crossover episode, the writers are taking a little bit more thought and time into putting together something that's actually somewhat decent. So, and we get it from a little bit different angle here with Orko and Madame Raz stuck together. So from that point, I'm going to like the setup that we chose to do there and kind of have the comparison of those two characters. And I think it leads to some good things. So it's one of those where, like we've said, we've had three different episodes today. I'll be a broken record. The first one, the plot had nothing to do with whether I liked it or not. Mm-hmm. Second one, plot destroyed it. It was going to be very hard for that episode to be good. This one, the plot elevates it. And unless they're executed poorly, it's going to end up being a good episode. So I have to wait and see how that all plays out. But let's make our way one final time to the Whispering Woods.
My. You're a broom?
Well, of course I am. But what, may I ask, are you?
The name's Orko. I'm a wizard.
A wizard?
Oh, sure. Don't you have wizards on this world?
Oh, dearie my, yes. Lots of them. But I've never seen one quite like.
All right, Raz, stay where you are.
Mantenna.
Go, Broom, go! Tell the others!
Stop that broom!
You useless tin cans! You let him get away!
Oh, dearie boy, good flying, Broomy!
Madam should have been back from her scouting flight by now. I hope nothing's... Look!
It's fun.
But without Madam.
I smell trouble.
For the honor of Grayskull!
To tell the sorceress about Orko. Sorceress, can you hear me? This is She-Ra. Sorceress, answer me, please.
She-Ra, I hear you. Is there trouble?
Somehow, Orko's appeared on Etheria, and Hordak has captured him.
Oh, no. I told him to be careful.
He-Man always said he had a talent for trouble, but don't worry. I'll help him.
He-Man will want to help, too. I shall send him immediately.
Good idea. I'll wait for him in the usual spot. Farewell, sorceress.
Farewell, She-Ra.
All right, last chance to talk about some Whispering Woods moments. What do you got for us for this crossover episode?
Starting at Grayskull, always very awesome. Very rare scene with just the sorceress and Orko. It's usually... Orko's usually there at Grayskull, but it's usually He-Man or Battle Cat or Man-at-Arms, but it's a very cool and rare scene that we see with just the sorceress and Orko. And as I mentioned a moment ago, anyone else have a Sword in the Stone feeling with the brooms and the mops? And all I can think of is Merlin's dancing brooms and mops as they go off and have their...
See, I had something completely different that I... That's why I wasn't seeing what you were saying before.
Okay.
Mine was a Fantasia reference.
Ah.
Where you have, like, the magician's nephew with... Or whatever it was with Mickey, and then all the brooms cleaning up and stuff.
And then the door knocker, is like the door knocker in Alice in Wonderland, okay. Where the door's locked, and she's like, well, how am I supposed to get through, and whatever else, and the key's up there, and I'm too big for, you know, so that was kind of what I saw there. Nice to see Madame Raz and Orko in the same place. As of this recording, as of this episode of the show and the episode of the series, this is the only time I believe they were ever in the same episode. I could be wrong, and we'll find that out as we go along here. Hordak's grand entrance must have only been for Orko's benefit. Like, I liked it. I thought it was cool, but I just also felt it was kind of out of place. Like, they spend all this time with Hordak's grand entrance. It must have just been for Orko, because the rest of us pretty much know who the hell Hordak is. I love Madame Raz's line. I like that little guy's spunk. We need more Raz and Orko episodes. I know it won't happen, though.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the stuff that you've said so far. You're stealing a lot of my notes.
Yeah, the final thing. This is kind of a double take moment. It isn't bad, it isn't good, but it's just like, what the... Hordak riding a praying mantis. Where the... It's like he you know, jumped forward in time into George Lucas's mind and stole Obi-Wan's thing from... Was it episode 2 or episode 3 yeah. when he was riding the... I'm like, why is Hordak riding a praying mantis?
All right, next time you don't get to go first.
Shut up.
I'm just going to read down my list and you'll get to see why. starting off...
Great minds think alike.
Something like that. Starting out with the sorceress, I'm on board. So obviously good there. The spring cleaning Fantasia style, like that. Quite the reveal for Hordak and his throne. Thought that was awesome. Done. Like I said, maybe it should have been done the first time we ever saw Hordak instead of just this random time with Orko, but the visuals on that was really cool and like the angles that we got on it. Orko's brain functions and thought processes were pretty funny gags. So I definitely liked seeing that and kind of seeing how that didn't work necessarily how they thought it was going to. Moral of the story, don't try to scan Orko's brain. Sword to shield, and then shield to lasso. So that's unique. I don't know. You keep track of that stuff better than I do, but I don't know how many times we've gone sword to something, and then to something else.
Yeah. She's done it, but yeah, it's normally when she does back and forth from sword to something, then back to sword, and then later in an episode she'll do... I think it's the one where she uses the lariat, where she used the shield before. But yeah, that was kind of unique to this episode, where she went from shield to lasso. Mm-hmm.
And then my last note, nice. We see Hordex praying mantis, or whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. I'm not good with the toys on the vehicles. I don't know if that was one or not, but there was one that was very similar to it, red and black style from the He-Man line. This one's more of a green.
Yeah, see, that's why I just thought it was a regular old praying mantis.
It just was weird seeing him on that. This had been the first time we've seen Hordak, if this was like one of the first episodes where we see his ascension on the throne and then we see him on this praying mantis, it would have a very different feel to his character. It's cool moments for him. What about any negativity from this episode? Anything you didn't like?
I only got two.
Okay.
He-Man says he won't be able to breathe in space. Again, I recall to the previous episode we just talked about where She-Ra had no helmet, then she should be dead and the cartoon should be over. Okay, the other thing, the Horde is all about science and magic if you count Shadow Weaver. Why do they have a hay transport? Are they becoming evil farmers? What's going on here? Why is... I know why the hay transport is there. It's the cushion He-Man's fall. It's to... But I'm sorry. There's, like, if he had fallen anywhere outside the Fright Zone, I could see, like, a wagon of hay being there, because most of the Aetherian people are farmers. We've seen episodes where there are farmers on Aetheria. So I wouldn't have minded that, but the fact that it was a Horde hay transport? What the hell kind of... How the hell are you going to take over the damn planet with a bunch of hay?
What about you?
First note, because yes, the Horde would have a hay transport. So, obviously in agreement with that. I thought it was kind of a little bit cheesy with She-Ra and Swiftwind, where she's like, oh, do maneuver 19.
The first thing I thought of, so what the hell are the other 18 maneuvers?
Yeah, and why is this the first time we've heard it? I don't know, it's weird. And then, here's a question. Uh-huh. You know, the previous episode where we had them in the middle of those cactus spikes, they didn't jump over them. All right, how about in this episode, Orko accidentally gets sneezed through this gate. Why didn't Orko just immediately go back through the gate while it was still open?
I will defend this a little bit, because the force of the sneeze basically drew...
Sorry, keep going.
I'm trying to be serious here. I'm trying to give you an explanation. The force of the sneeze sent him through the door and through the gate. The way he landed was he was all groggy and he was disoriented, kind of like if you fell off a cliff or you fell off a, you know, if you fell down a flight of stairs or something. It's going to take you a few seconds to get back up. That being said, as far as defending Orko, that portal was open way too damn long. He should have been able to get up and recover himself fast enough. Right. But if he had done that, we wouldn't have had this awesome episode.
But my point was, like, she's already warned you about all that stuff. The sorceress has warned you. You know you've just gone through a portal because that's the only thing that could have happened. You know that exists in Castle Grayskull. So my thought process, if I'm Orko, is I would have been groggy-ass whatever, not drunken walking all the way back through that portal to get myself back to Eternia, because I don't know where I'm going. It just happened that we somehow got to Etheria. I could have ended up anywhere. So, and then the final, I do have a note on the PSA here, because it was lending a helping hand says to that person that you're friends. Can I disagree?
Yes.
Because I can help somebody out, doesn't mean I want to be their friends. So, maybe a bad lesson there. Just because someone helps you doesn't mean that they're not going to abduct you and rape you later. I'm just saying.
Well, okay, I was not expecting that.
Someone can give you candy, and then they get you in the van, and wow. It's a bad story for Dateline.
I was not expecting that, especially.
Or I could just, I could help an elderly person cross the street. Doesn't mean I want to play checkers with them. Just saying. I disagree with the PSA.
Okay, so let me, and I agree with your disagreement, but building on that fact, you know, my mom passed away last year, and I needed some help. And, you know, in this day and age of the internet and GoFundMe and Kickstarter and all that stuff, whatever else, one of my friends set up a donation page for me at the time. And sure, a lot of my friends that I've podcasted with and everything else, you know, donated, but there were also a lot of anonymous donations for people that I may never know. There was a guy that donated directly to my PayPal because I had given it out. I'd given my PayPal email address out at one point or another, and I didn't even know that that was going to happen. So there are more than one way or two ways to help people. And yeah, you're right. You don't always have to be.
You can help them because you want to help them.
Yeah, exactly. And because I have been in the podcasting thing for eight years this December, you know, the way I feel about it is, yeah, a lot of these people, a lot of the listeners are my friends and things like that, but I don't talk with a lot of them every day. I consider them more of fans of mine, that they listen to my opinions, our opinions, the network opinions, whatever, and they like what we do, so they still come back. But I don't necessarily talk to them on a daily basis. You know what I mean? Right. So it's one of those things where, like you're saying, you can help somebody, you know, just holding a door open for somebody, like, you know, going into the grocery store or something, that's just helping somebody out. Doesn't mean you're immediately going to become a friend of theirs, right? You know, it's just common. It's common sense and it's common courtesy is really what it is. And honestly, I'm glad you sat through the PSA, because some of the PSAs I just can't sit through because I am so sick and tired of. Hey, it's Luki. Did you find me today? No, I don't give a shit where you are.
All right, on that note, let's see if we have anything left in our trophy case to hand out. You're almost out of all yours, so
no,
we'll have to wait and see.
I have an unlimited supply.
You do.
Yes, I do.
You don't scare me much.
Hi, sis.
Brother.
So, Hordak has Orko, does he?
Yes, and Madame Raz, too.
Well, let's go have a talk with the man.
My feelings exactly.
What? What do you mean you can't find out what he is? What about your great spells?
Oh, I've tried them all, but there is something about him that defies even my powers.
Well, Man-at-Arms always said no one could figure me out. I guess he was right. Oh, that's telling him, dearie. No, Hordak. We must learn his secrets first.
You're right. But since your magic has failed, we will try Horde science. This is Hordak. Bring the Minesweeper to me immediately.
Minesweeper? Oh, I don't think this hat's the right size, and I don't like the color either.
Joke while you can, insect. Now, for phase one.
Commencing phase one, brain scan. Basic brain function undefinable.
What? Go to phase two!
Phase two, scan of thought processes. Conclusion weird, very weird.
No, 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 this can't be.
It seems your science is no more effective
than my magic.
Silence! Go to phase 10! Full power!
Phase 10 commencing. Mind sweep, full power. Danger, danger, help, 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 help.
Hey, that was fun. Can we do it again?
Hordak is a meanie. Hordak is a meanie. Hordak is a meanie. Hordak, Hordak, meanie. Hordak is a meanie.
He's destroyed the minesweeper. Whatever his power is, it's incredible. Horde Prime would delight in such a subject for his experiments.
What are you saying?
Send him to Horde World. Let them play with him for a while. If they fail, we are not disgraced. And if they succeed, we get the credit for sending him.
Alright, time for Horde Bats, Protection Swords, and Crystal Castles. I think you got one trophy left in your case here. Any Horde Bats for you to hand out?
I'm going to give a Horde Bat to the Horde overall for having a hay transport. That was just illogical.
They gotta feed their praying mantis.
Apparently. What about you?
I got two. One for Orko for not going back through the portal.
Oh, come on. If he went back through, you can't do that. I veto that Horde Bat. You can't do that because if he would gone
better.
Back
it gets better.
We wouldn't have this better. Episode.
My other one goes to the sorceress. Because you should know better than to trust Orko cleaning in that area of the castle. You know he's going to end up doing something stupid.
But he didn't do... Okay, so this wasn't...
Well, then control your door knockers and maybe clean more often so they don't have to sneeze. This whole thing could have been prevented. I know it was a good episode, but it's an episode that should have never happened because of the stupidity of Sorceress and Orko.
First of all, why do you have a giant door knocker that is able to sneeze in the first place? That's really...
If you're going to have that door knocker, why not have him on like a main door instead of hidden in the dungeon where he doesn't get anybody to talk to?
No. But I mean, Orko's actions, like, okay, like I was saying earlier, I don't blame Orko because he's just doing what he was meant to do. And he even tried to stop the guy, the door knocker guy, from sneezing twice. So... I find that Orko...
This is not a case in the jury. You can't find anything.
No, I find that Orko is not at fault for any of... This isn't like him trying to... Like I said before, trying to do a magic trick for man.
All right, Mills Lane, I'm Judge Judy, and I'm giving him a Horde Bat.
Well, Mills Lane outranks Judge
Judy. Oh, Protection Swords. Anything for you?
He-Man, She-Ra, Orko, and Madame Raz. All four. Absolutely.
That is way past your quota, sir. You've had two episodes where you've handed out three things to somebody. Oh.
So
that's
you know,
right. Orko's protection sword will cancel out because of the Horde Bat I gave.
No, it doesn't cancel out anything.
I have one to give out. You might give a Horde Bat to the Horde. I'm giving a protection sword to Hordak. The reveal with him on the throne was cool. He gets to ride a praying mantis. He's been fucking up Horde troopers all day today, so it's time to reward him for that. So one protection sword to Hordak.
I'm going to go ahead and do this because just to annoy the hell out of you and just because I thought this was hilarious, I'm going to give Hordak a protection sword as well. Not for riding a praying mantis, not for his epic throne thing, but for his constant bug eyes throughout the entire... He had so many wide-eyed facial expressions throughout the entire episode. I'll put some of the images in the post so you guys can see it, but it was just hilarious. He has so many of those open-face, shocking moment kind of things.
True that. All right, so you've given out a 2 and a 1. What does this one get you?
Even though He-Man did... He-Man did say he wouldn't be able to breathe in space, and I can overlook, as much as I bitched about it today, I can still overlook a Horde hay transport because the rest of the episode was just so awesome. I'm going to give it 5 crystal castles out of 5. Absolutely love this. Compared to the other two episodes, this is by far the best one.
All right, a 5 from Mike on this one. It's also my favorite episode of the day by far. I will give it a 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 5 for me. Like I said, few convenient things with the hay, with mm-hmm. Orko not going back through the transport, with Sorceress electing to have Orko clean her basement, and Maneuver 19. So I'll give it a 4, but it's a real good episode, so... Mm-hmm. Take a quick break and we'll be back to give you our final thoughts for today's episode.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but... How are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
All right, we are back. Final thoughts after this episode, sir?
Well, I mean, hey, we're a third of the way through the series. We've passed the third way mark, I guess if you want to call it that. So, man, I don't know. Obviously, we were really excited to start She-Ra, get away from the He-Man universe mm-hmm. for a while and kind of be introduced to all these characters. I guess I was under a false impression, and maybe it will change here as we go through the second two-thirds of this series. I thought we would see a lot more of the Rebellion, a mm-hmm. lot more of the Horde, a lot more characters than we've seen so far. I mean, mm-hmm. it's basically been like the five main bad characters. We've had Catra, Scorpia, Grizzlor, Leech, Mantenna.
Scorpia hasn't been in an episode in a while.
But I'm just saying, like, so far in the first 30 episodes, like, that's about all we've seen, minus, like, one or two little tiny roles. And I just thought we'd get a little bit more from that. But even I won't complain as much from the Horde because they have mixed it up a little bit. But from the Rebellion, we've basically seen Bo and She-Ra and, like...
And Madame Razz and Broom.
And it's basically been Madame Razz, Broom, Cowl, and all those characters, which I realize those are main characters, etc. Yeah. But I thought we'd see a lot more from all the other women that were made into toys, and Flutterina and Frosta and Castaspella and all these different characters, and we haven't seen any of them.
I mean, we've seen Castaspella a few times. We saw
Frosta. We've seen the look of some of them, but they haven't even, like, spoken yet.
Right. We've seen Frosta like twice because she was in in the episode. Well, yeah, but she was in the episode where she created the snow, and then she was in the hall when She-Ra was telling a story to Cowl or something, the Great Hall thing. Right. In these
three
episodes, even
Glimmer, we don't really get to see a ton of.
Yeah. We went to Bright Moon in episode 2 in episode 31 today or right. Episode 3. The kid episode. We went to Bright Moon. We saw Queen Angela for like a half a second, right. But none of the actual plots so far recently are revolving around
right.
Glimmer and Bright Moon.
There's
and,
been
Angela.
One that focused on the Queen, one that focused on Glimmer, and one that somewhat half focused on Castaspella. But it's like, that's been about it. And I just thought we'd see more of the people, I guess, of the Rebellion. And so I guess that's my biggest disappointment up to this point, and I'm hoping that maybe we get to see some more of that in the next 60 episodes, a little less than 60 now. But, I mean, I can't complain out of the amount of times that we've seen the Horde and the Rebellion interact. Like, that seems to be somewhat constant. We're not getting a whole bunch of episodes like we did in He-Man where we don't see Skeletor for 20 episodes or something. Yeah. So, I mean, that hasn't happened, but...
Well, and the difference is here with She-Ra is you have a fixed number of episodes compared to He-Man. I mean, you had a fixed number of episodes in He-Man, but you have 37 less episodes in She-Ra. She-Ra only had 93 episodes, whereas He-Man had 130.
Right.
So you have, you know, like I said, 37 episodes where there's nothing. You don't have that additional 37 episodes to be able to throw in those
right.
those but one-shot characters like we've had in
I guess my point at this juncture is mm-hmm. I'm kind of at a tipping point. I can go either way. I'm not upset with the series, and I haven't come down on it one way or the other as far as my grade for the overall series. But even He-Man had some cool, like, little one-off episodes where we got to see Moss Man, or we got to see, you know, whoever it was, just these random good characters or random bad characters. And even though we didn't get as many of them as we would like, we haven't gotten any of those hardly here. So I would really like to see some of that going forward, because otherwise I have a feeling if we go another 15 to 20 episodes and we don't start getting somewhere with some of those, it's going to be a rough second half.
I think I said this in episode 56. I do know coming up we do have
spoil it.
No, well, I've already said that. I said this last time in episode 56. We do have coming up in episode 59. We have an episode called Into the Dark Dimension. Up in episode 60, there's an episode called Glimmer's Story. Episode 61, there's an episode called Welcome Back, Cowl.
Like I said, these are all still the main characters that we've already been seeing for the most part. So,
well, I don't need to see too much. We haven't seen Glimmer in a while.
Yeah, Glimmer, I get it, but I don't need to see too much on Cowl or Metapraz or Broom or Bo. I've seen them. We know them.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
All right. And then in episode 65, that idiot troll Lukey gets his own episode when he apparently lends a hand. But anyway. All right. So that's going to do it for us here on Myths of Etheria. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all our other episode posts. Leave the show feedback at iTunes. Please do this. You can also find us on Blog Talk Radio as well. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Power of Grayskull for the show Twitter. Mine is TFU and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes, those being Troll's Dream, Gateway to Trouble, and the Unicorn King. Oh, boy. For now, I am TFU and Mike with...
You're not a troll and a unicorn lover? I don't know.
It's better than vampire zombies, all right. So there is that.
And this Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.